Hello and welcome along to the Property Academy podcast by Opus Partners. I'm your host, Stephen Knight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
And today on the show, we're talking about break fees. And the reason I want to talk about this is interest rates are really high at the moment. But ANZ and many of the other banks expect interest rates to drop throughout the year in 2024 into 2025. And that might tempt you guys, as you see that happening, to try and get out of your current agreement with the bank and go down to a lower rate. So effectively breaking your current fixed interest rate, which might be 7.2%, and trying to go down to something a wee bit lower. But that's where you need to know about break fees. Now, Andrew, you're an ex-mortgage broker. What is a break fee?
So the bank actually charges you to get off your fixed interest rate. So for example, let's say you fixed your mortgage for 5 years, and then 2 years into that, with 3 years left, interest rates have dropped, and you think, oh, my interest rate feels quite expensive now. I want to go onto that lower interest rate, today's interest rate. But you've got a contract with the bank, and it says, well, you've still got another 3 years remaining on the rate that you're fixed at. So you have to break the loan and pay a fee to get out of that because the rates have gone down.
And then I know a lot of you guys are going to be rolling your eyes and saying, oh, Ed and Andrew, is this just another way the bank's trying to beef up their profits and make money off me, those grubby bankers? Well, what? That's what they're all thinking.
Okay.
But according to the Ministry of Business, Innovation and Employment, you know, the law actually says that break fees can only be used to make up for the bank's costs, not actually to profit out of the transaction. So what a bank can't do is say, great, it's going to cost us $3,000 to let you out of this contract because they've borrowed some money from the interest rate markets, and we're going to charge you an extra $5,000 to get out of it, and we're going to make some good old profit out of this. Ha, ha, ha. No, the banks can't do that. So they can only charge a reasonable admin fee, and then they can only charge your fee if interest rates have gone down a lot since they started lending you the money so they can recover their losses. They can't make a lot of money off you when you go and break that loan. So that's really important to understand. Now, Andrew, give us an example of when breaking your loan, paying the break fee, where that could actually save you money.
So I remember a client that I worked with a long, long time ago when I was a mortgage broker. They had an average rate of about 4.65% on their fixed mortgages. And so to break their loans and go on to the new interest rates, it was going to cost them $12,000 worth of break fees. But is it worth paying $12,000 today to save $14,000 over the next wee while?
Yeah, that's what you've got to consider with your mortgage broker. And what's the most money you've ever heard of someone saving by breaking their loan and fixing at a lower rate?
Now, I do remember Rupert Goff, who's a mate of mine who used to own Mortgage Lab. He was telling me about an investor he was working with where the break fee was astronomical, like it was over $50,000. But by breaking the loan, the investor was going to save $83,000 moving to a lower interest rate. So they were better off by about $30,000. So that's a lot of money. And actually, I also remember another instance where one of my investors had come into an inheritance, I think it was about $200,000, a lot of money. Now, by breaking their loan early, they could offset the $200,000 off their mortgage. So again, they were going to save a large amount of money.
Yeah, it all depends on the situation. Sometimes you'll save money, sometimes you won't. And that leads to a really good question of, well, how does the bank actually calculate the break fee? So when you take out a loan, the banks will have what's called a hedge rate. Now, this is just a rate in the background that they probably won't actually tell you. But to keep things really simple, just think of it as what it costs the bank to borrow some money and lend it to you. And once everything is said and done, taken into account, that's the hedge rate. Now, you generally pay a break fee when those hedge rates or the wholesale rates go down over time, because you've agreed to pay the bank some money at a specific interest rate. The bank went out and they borrowed some money so that they can lend it to you. And now that interest rates are lower, you want to get out of the contract, but the bank still has to pay back the people that it borrowed from to give you the mortgage in the first place. Now, by law, the banks have to let you break a loan if you want, but that's why they need to be able to recover some of their costs. And so now that interest rates are lower, the bank's going to start losing money if they let you out of your contract and then take the money you pay back and lend it to someone else. So that's the reason why they pay a break fee. And the way that they calculate it is just the difference in those hedge rates.
And I think one of the things in the market that we're moving into, where rates are trending down, that will catch people is that people might sell a property and they forget about that break fee. So say I just sell my owner-occupier and I think, well, I'm just selling it now. That's going to come out on top of your real estate commission as well.
And so give us an example of how break fee might actually be calculated. And this one's going to be really simple, and then we're going to get into something a bit more complicated.
Okay, so let's say you take a $500K mortgage through Westpac and you're paying 7% on it, fixed for 2 years. Now, their hedge rate might be 5.5%. Now, over the next year, the interest rates fall and you want that lower rate. So you go to Westpac and you say, how much is it going to be to break my loan? If the hedge rate has gone down by 1%, and you've still got 1 year left on your fixed term, the break fee is the decrease in the hedge rate times the size of your mortgage times the number of years left. So the decrease in the hedge rate is 1%. The mortgage is $500,000. That works out to be $5,000 per year, and you've got 1 year left, so $5,000 is the break fee.
Yeah, so that's the rough cost of your break fee. Now, that's just a basic example. Now, I've put in front of Andrew, Westpac's actual formula for calculating break fees.
I thought this was the law of relativity.
How would you describe that, Andrew, what you've got in front of you?
Quite complicated. Remember, it takes me back to high school algebra.
Yeah, look, I won't take you through all of the details of it, but Westpac and all of the banks have quite complicated formulae around how do they figure out what the cost of your actual break fee is. Look, the best thing you can do is rather than trying to figure out the hedge rate, just go to your mortgage advisor, get them to go to the bank and say, hey, what's the break fee going to be on this mortgage? So I wouldn't even bother trying to figure out, well, what was the hedge rate they used then and what's the hedge rate they use now? Well, it's quite complex because they're borrowing from the interest rate markets at different terms and at different rates to try and mitigate their risk. Just make it easy for yourself. You don't actually have to think about anything like that. I'm just letting you know how it's calculated so you've got an understanding. But just go to your mortgage advisor to figure out the break fees because they're not going to publish the hedge rate online. Do they put it in your mortgage documents?
No, and I don't even think if you rang them and asked them for a break fee, they'd tell you what those hedge rates were. They just give you the number and the computer calculates it for them.
But this is just to give you an understanding because sometimes there will be a break fee because the hedge rates have moved down. Sometimes there won't be a break fee because interest rates have gone the other way. So it just depends. Make it easy for yourself. Talk to your mortgage advisor. Now, one other question a lot of people have, Andrew, is, well, let's say my break fee was $12,000, like that example you gave before. Do you need to pay that break fee in cash?
A lot of people will add it to their mortgage, probably more than will actually have the cash sitting in their bank, particularly if it's a large amount, like, you know, $50,000, like that example I gave before. But if you want to add it onto your loan, you need to remember that you probably have to go through the application process. If you don't have a line of credit or revolving credit facility to pay that, you probably have to go through that entire top-up application. So it's not as simple as just saying, I want to add it onto my loan most of the time. But one trick that you don't want to get into is, say you add another $50K onto your mortgage and now you have 25 years left on your mortgage. You don't want to pay that 50 grand off over the next 25 years as well, because you might end up paying more interest because you're paying interest on that interest you're paying up front.
Yeah, the main thing you need to do there is it's about keeping your repayments the same. Yes. So keep your current repayments the same, but pay down that extra mortgage top-up you've got faster. So let's say your break fee's 5 grand and you're going to save 8K in interest repayments over the next year. The key thing to do is if you're going to add that to your mortgage, make sure you're paying off that 5 grand over the next year. So keep your repayments the same and just pay it off debt faster. That's probably the best thing to do. Or, you know, create a specific plan with your advisor.
And again, if you're selling the property, that will come out of the sale proceeds. The other thing to remember is if you're doing this with an investment property, make sure you tell your accountant because that's a deduction that year.
The other thing you probably want to just think about is if you're trying to estimate the cost of your break fee, probably the best calculator I've seen online, pains me to say it because it's not on our website, is interest.co.nz's, because they're estimating what your hedge rate is going to be in the background because they've got a calculator that looks at the wholesale rates. Got me very excited because I thought, oh, I could make one of these.
No, so just go to the bank and ask for the number.
We're going to estimate it. I'm going to create a calculator.
Ed.
No, I am. Now you're just, I know what you're doing. This is reverse psychology. You know I'm going to go do it because you told me not to do it now. And I think probably you might say, well, when's the right time to talk to my mortgage advisor and figure out whether it's worth breaking my loan? I'd probably say when interest rates fall substantially. So I'd probably say at least 1%. Would that be a good ballpark?
Yeah, well, it kind of depends on what you think the rates are going to do over the next wee while. So say you did have 3 years remaining on an interest rate, then I'd probably do that now because over the next 3 years, it's going to reduce more. And so you're going to suture that wound. You're going to end that contract now so that every year it rolls over, it's on a cheaper rate.
Okay, so if you were kind of looking into your crystal ball, and let's say you're currently fixed at 3 years at quite a high interest rate.
So, say 6.5%, right?
Yeah, no, you might say, I'm going to break my loan now, move to a one-year rate, because I expect that rates will fall over the next year. So there might not even be concrete interest rate savings, but perhaps you're positioning yourself for getting a lower rate in the future. Now, some of that takes a bit of guesswork, and there's a bit of risk, because interest rates can go up, they can go down, or they can stay the same. But if you've got a feeling that rates might come down, that's something you might discuss with an advisor as well. Right, let's wrap it up there. But please don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. It really does help us get the message out to more people. And hey, we've got an upcoming webinar specifically talking about the government's tax changes. Because over the next year, some investors will pay more in tax, some investors will pay less in tax, and some actually will make no difference at all. So we're reviewing the app tax, we're reviewing interest deductibility, we're reviewing Brightline, and we're going to give you some different examples so that you know how these rules apply to you. If you want to come along, links down in the description. Just tap or swipe over the cover art. It'd be great to see you there. Or just go to opuspartners.co.nz/webinar. Thanks for listening to the Property Academy podcast. I'm your host, Ed McKnight.
And I'm Andrew Nicholl.
We're going to be back again tomorrow with even more daily strategies, tactics, and insights to help you get the most out of the New Zealand property market. Until next time.